Well, I was a little amazed at last week, the response. I don't know if you remember when I started the class, I said, well, this is probably a lesser degree thing. You know, it's not quite as magnitude of some of the things. And the response that I kept getting back from people was, this was really good, and it really was something I needed. And what's funny is I really don't get a lot of feedback normally anyway, so that was great too. So we want to move on in the our study of Stephen in the book of Acts, and let's go to Acts chapter 6. And we're going to be dealing with some of the same scriptures, but I want to take another view now. Part of that last class, the view was more of the possibility of Stephen, you know, going through things or whatever. I usually don't like to speculate. I like to stick with what's clear, but apparently that came from the Holy Spirit, and he knew it wasn't speculating. It was going to bless some people, so thank you, Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 6, and again, we'll be reading some of the same verses, but looking at a few new things, a few different things now. I want to start with verse 1, and then I want to skip to verse 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the word of God, this is verse 7 now, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them that are Cilicians. Silly folks of Asia. No, they're great. This is just disputing with Stephen, so they're not so great after all. And verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So just looking through a couple of these things, I read verse 1 because I wanted us to be sure that we understood that the way this thing started was with the Grecians, that the Grecians, were trying to make sure that their widows would be fed and taken care of. And so that's where Stephen came in to his position. And then, of course, it was later that there rose another group, which we read off all of who they are, and they're the ones, they weren't griping about the widows not being fed. They were griping because after Stephen got through ministering to widows and making sure they got food taken care of, then he would go and he would share the word, and there was this reaction with this four different groups. And that's how it started. But it says in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power. Stephen, okay, not just having faith, but full of faith. Now, I know we all have our ups and downs. So I know we're not always full of faith. But Stephen was, well, at least at this moment when they wrote it, you know. Yeah. And a few minutes later, it's like, oh. No, he was full of faith and power. And it says, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And I don't think I'd really noticed the next word there and how that came into this flow. The next word there was then. Okay, so let me read it with adding that in. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the Synagogue of the Libertines, and goes through that group of people. It was when there started to be manifestations that Stephen couldn't do his own self. They came from God. It was God. You know. Some of you have heard this story, but when we first started this church, we were over on Bolivar Street, and it was a little bitty church building, and the Lord started moving in those ways, and where he was touching people and healing people and ministering to people in miraculous ways, and Scott and Carol may remember this one, but... So I was praying for people, and I remember some pretty fantastic things happened. And so those people started going out and talking to other people, and rumors started getting around that God was moving and that there's these healings going on at our church and all this kind of stuff. And it got, there were people coming and people calling and what have you. And, so that next Sunday morning, I stood up in front of the church and I said, there is a horrible rumor going around about me. And that rumor is that I've been healing people and blessing, doing certain things like that. And I said, I wouldn't know how to heal anybody. I have no clue. God did that, not me. And so please stop lying about me because I didn't do it. It was him. And I think that's important that we always keep that in mind. If the Lord starts moving in that way, in a bigger way, then that we give him all the glory and we give him all the honor and we'd be with him. But it is, the scriptures do say that these signs will follow them that believe. And I'm sure in your life, you've whether it's your family or whatever, I'm sure you've got people that have been, sick or whatever, and you prayed for them, or someone prayed for you and you got healed from that, or any number of things. I know that in our lives and in our situations that we have, we see miracles all the time. It's not that strange, we just had a horrible one happen with some of our kitty cats. And Handsome, that's his name, our kitty. he came in and had blood on him and everything. And he ended up just bleeding all over the house in big things and just crying and crying and crying. And then, but he didn't want to be in the house And so he ran out and he went under the house, and his mother, Kitty, is named Mama Cakes, and Mama Cakes is under there crying with him, for him. Yeah. Not, you know, he was crying so hard, you know. And anyway, we prayed, and like I said, it was a major loss of blood. And he's doing a lot better, and he's recovering, but he's out and about now more. And when my girls, Naphtali, Nisi, and Cassie, were little, we prayed for our pets regularly. You know, we just trust the Lord to take care of us. We're all one family, you know what I mean? And but I mean, that may seem like a small one, but we've seen just so many beautiful things. And we could even say, if necessary, little things. But they were still of God. And he still gets the glory. And we care, you know. We care not just for the healings or the blessings. We care for him who gives them. So anyway, it says of Stephen, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue that they start this disputing with Stephen. Okay, so now, you know, before it was just an argument, and Stephen wasn't even involved in that argument with the feeding of the widows. He was kind of brought in as an answer to it. But then now, he's sharing the word. He's moving in the Lord, and things start happening also on a negative front. We call that negative confirmation, that you're on the right track. Everybody's looking for positive confirmation. Well, sometimes just anything that the enemy would do can be negative confirmation that you're on the right track. Some of you are going, well, that's my whole life. I'm I'm on the right track then. So, and then in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And so what you're seeing is not just quote unquote supernatural ability. You're seeing a wisdom that cannot be refuted, even by people who would study and know these things, supposedly, but still couldn't refute what's being said. But even better than that, there's a spirit that goes along with it. It's a lower spirit. It's not, you know, doesn't have to have all the glory or whatever. It's a lower spirit, a lowly spirit, if you will. And so they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses. Okay, Moses is going to be mentioned twice in this little scenario here. And that Stephen is speaking against Moses. But maybe you know his speech that we're going to get into a little more and more. He talks about Moses, and it's pretty good. You know, it's real good. So somebody's lying somewhere. and against God. And so we're going to get a list of stuff that they do here, verse 12. And they stirred up the people. Okay, so these are people who stir up other people. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know that so-and-so did this or whatever? They stir up the people. And they stirred up the elders and the scribes. And then they came upon him and caught him like he was running or something. And I don't think he was running away. And brought him to the council. Okay, this word council is going to be used again also. So then verse 13, and they set up false witnesses. So they stirred up, they caught him, they set up false witnesses. So they got a pretty, you know, a lot of things to do within their job. Stir up, you know, set up. Finally, hopefully, shut up. But sorry, that's Texas stuff here. Set up false witness, which they said, this man ceases not to speak, blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Okay, and so the law is going to be, and this is why I'm taking this a little bit slow in this early going, because these are the issues that they're throwing out. This is the issues that, the disputers, if you will, are throwing out. It's good for us. It's certainly good for Stephen to know what they're saying the issues are, because he's gonna start addressing them, and he's gonna address it with wisdom and spirit. All right. So, and the law, verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus, you know who's the problem, right? It's this Jesus. Everybody will blame him. All right. So this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. Now, you do realize that he was crucified and they don't see him anymore right now. Okay. Well, he's going to sneak in here. And he's going to tear our building up. And shall change the customs which, here it is again, Moses delivered us. And all that sat, okay, so remember up here it says in verse 12, it says that these guys stirred up the people and the elders and scribes and came and caught him and brought him to the council. Now listen to verse 15 about the council. This is the people, the council. We're the council. We're the officiates, officiate. We're going to make the decisions here. So, and so the guys that are disrupting and saying, well, he said this and he did this and Jesus and all of this and all of this uproar that's going on within them to the council, and they're sitting there listening and everything. And then it says, verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Stephen's just sitting there, you know, not like this. He looked like an angel or something. I don't. But anyway, the point is that he was not ruffled by the circumstances. He was not ruffled by the accusations. He was not fighting back. He was just sitting there. He probably didn't know, you know, but he was in such a state that his face was like that of an angel. It was shining through, but it was not something that he's trying to put on. I mean, if I ask everybody here, put on a face like an angel. Why don't we just do that? Ready, set, go! Okay. You don't realize this, but when you're making your halo, your fingers are going up and they look like horns. They really did. I mean, but we know that that's not true. Yes, that's right. We know about you and love you. Okay. So now I'll just read a little bit. It all begins with Stephen seeking to minister the things of God to those who had resistance to the Lord in the way that he's been sharing. Okay, so but his is only a response to. They came and started accusing. They came and started disrupting and making this a bad situation. There were proofs whereby they should have seen which side was of God and which side wasn't. In other words, yeah. You know, I mean, if you just went with the face of an angel, that's better than what they probably got. I mean, it's hard to dispute with the face of an angel. Amen? Mm-hmm. Usually it's like, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, it's never, I'm right and you're wrong, but, you know, slap me on one cheek, you know. So they should have, there were proofs. There were certain things that are saying, if you were in tune, if these folks that were doing the accusing were in tune with the Lord or not an agenda or something, they would be able to discern, this has to be of God. How are they doing that? I can't do that. You know what I mean? That would be the way. But let's face it, not just them, and not just evil people, but we can get into situations or angst over things, and we can be trying to address something, but we don't see that maybe the Lord was in that. The Lord might have been in that person or whatever. And our goal should be not just to be after Jesus who is in the throne room and not just be after Jesus who's in us, but to be looking for and caring about Jesus in one another. Now, we read a bunch of scriptures on Sunday. Do y'all, anybody remember that? It was out of the Passion version. Yeah. And it was gentle. And we'll actually get into some scriptures that talk about this difference and how important it is. But when we have an agenda, and our agenda is not first just, I want the Lord, and I want it to be the Lord in me. And I understand how this rolls up on the inside of us. I want the Lord and da-da-da-da, but they did so-and-so. You see that? You just stepped out of the realm of the Lord. You know, I want the Lord, but they did so-and-so. Well, okay, that's right. But that shouldn't change your environment. No matter how bad it is that what they did, you know. I mean, remember, at this stage, his face is just like an angel, you know what I mean? He looks like an angel. But when it gets down the road and they're throwing rocks and they're doing all of this to kill him, it's more than just his face. It's his spirit. And it's the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of the Lamb. And that's power. That is more power than doing miracles. So, the first was that he not only had a profound wisdom that they were not able to refute, but a spirit from God that reinforced that wisdom. And I guess I won't comment on that because I have a scripture that should explain that better than what I could say. There are many who may have the knowledge to be able to quote the scriptures, but are they devoid of the wisdom of God and the spirit that accompanies it? So I'm going to read two scriptures first from Paul, from the Apostle Paul. And they're both out of 1 Corinthians. One's out of 1 Corinthians 1 and the other one's 1 Corinthians 2. You know these scriptures. But we're going to read them and then I'm going to read from another brother. Okay, so here's your task right now. Your task is to hear Brother Paul. Brother Paul, would you take the pulpit and let Brother Paul start, you know, talking about these areas. And then I'm going to invite another brother up and he's going to bring a little different angle. It doesn't void out Paul. It doesn't void out the scriptures in any way. And so your task is to listen to Paul and then listen to the next person who speaks and see if you can see what new thing the second person brings in. Okay, so Paul's going to be the first two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, I don't know that we can really quantify what that means, that the cross of Christ should not be made of none effect, unless we hear from this other brother. Okay. And then 1 Corinthians 2:1, still Paul. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Okay. Now, we're going to listen to the other one, try to pick out some things and maybe come up here and say something for the people on Zoom if necessary. This is Brother James, Book of James. And this is a guy, this is not James, the brother of Jesus. What? Is it? I mean, I'm sorry. This is not James, the brother of John. This is James, the brother of Jesus. This guy ended up being the head of the church, even over Peter, the brother of Jesus. You know, I mean, that's pretty amazing. He also became a martyr, was killed for what he believed and for his stance. And he's also proof that, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, I am not trying to disparage another denomination, but there's just truth and fact that James, the brother of Jesus, has a book in the Bible, and that fact is Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary is no longer a virgin. And she had a lot of kids. Do you know that? She had a lot of kids. It's in the Bible. So just, you know, she's not. I mean, they all talk about the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary ain't a virgin anymore. So let's just face that and move on. All right, James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show. You hear that? Something's being mingled and mixed in here. Okay, I'll read it again. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. That's King James, but that means the word conversation there is not just exchange of words. Two people talking. It is manner of life. You can look it up in the Greek. It means show out of your manner of life his works, get this one, with meekness of wisdom. Now, didn't you get the spirit? Didn't you get the feeling that Stephen, that's what he did? That was the power that they couldn't resist. You know, if they could get him in an argument, if they can get you in an argument, if they can get you going, well, I believe in, you know, da, da, da. But just, you know, just hold on to what you got. Don't freak out because somebody else believes different than you. You know, I mean, I don't freak out about that at all. And I founded this church. And guess what? There are no two people in this church that believe exactly alike. That's right. There aren't. Because we're all rebellious. No, not really. I'm joking. There's just not. Because there's, you know, you can go to any church and you probably won't find two people that believe everything exactly alike. In knowing that, do we go, you mean people don't believe what I believe here? Because what we believe here is really important. It's important, but it's important that God show them. It's important if God wants to lead them into it. We're not the know-all of all the churches. We're not the highest or the best or the whatever. We're just trying to learn Jesus more and more and have him formed in us and have his nature and his self-giving way and letting him come forth instead of me when I'm angry or me when I'm, you know, want something or me when I think, well, the ministry should go this way. But it should be more of Jesus, less of me. And I think that's the difference, is that maybe we don't have as many things of arguments or separations, because many of us, if not all of us, our desire is more of Jesus, less of me. You know, that's what I want, more of Jesus, and I want less of me. And when you do want that, then there's nothing to fight for. You know, because you're fighting over scraps. You know, underneath the table. And that doesn't work too well. The reason why I say that is because one time me and Doug Fisher and Jeff Sherrill were invited to this home, and it's not even the one that I had in Jamaica, when Deb and I were missionaries there and was in this home, we're sitting at the table, and the meat that they're giving us, there was like maggots cooked into it, and it was like bloody, and we're going, you know. And so I'm like trying to take little tiny bites, you know, and be, okay, Lord, don't kill me. And then I look over at Doug's plate, and it's already gone. I said, Doug, man, you scarfed that down. He said, I threw it under the table. He put it under the table. And I look over at Jeff, and he did too. And so I'm sitting there, and so the lady comes back and everything. Oh, I'm so glad, you know, you ate all the food and everything. And she walks out, and then the dogs come into the room, and they're under the table and start going, arr, arr, and they're fighting for the meat. And she's going, I don't know what's wrong with these dogs. Just don't get under the table and fight for the scraps, okay? That's all I'm saying. All right, so with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and you know, it is, you would think, I mean, in a certain front that, you know, if you've been with the Lord a certain amount of time, there wouldn't still be a lot of envying and strife, especially in your heart. That is a little different than just being momentarily, you know, envious of somebody or something like that. All right, so envying and strife, if there is envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And that's either scriptures or it's true. And I don't think that most of us really, when we think of, well, if I'm going through envy, and in that envy I've got some strife that stirs up, that we think that there is confusion, which you know what the word for confusion is. What that other word, anybody know? Babylon. What is it, Mallory?
Babylon.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, that was first mentioned at the Tower of Babel, where Babylon came from, and they changed their tongues, and they all just babbled on for a long time. Don't you do it. Don't you. She did it. She, when I said that, she went, right there. Confusion in every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Okay, well, that may sum up the wisdom and the spirit in which Stephen was sharing. Because he had the face of an angel. I mean, it may be pointing out reality of true wisdom at work in a person, and a true spirit that he wants. Because most everybody wants what they want, and I'm not talking about here necessarily, but they want the Holy Spirit to do great things and to perform for them and to bring about certain things. And so they, when God does move through somebody, you know, they go, oh, you know, yes, sometimes I do healings and whatever, I don't know. But they start taking credit for it instead of this spirit. Amen. Wisdom. And then this spirit. So, verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, so I think peace is used at least one other time in this portion that we're reading. Peaceable. Okay, so I was going to ask you, what are some of the things that James brought to the table that Paul hit some things James didn't, but that was not mentioned by Paul? Anybody want to raise your hand and then come up here? Or I'll repeat. Oh, wait, we've got, this will work, right? Okay, yeah.
I was going to say, could you read the scripture again? It's been a few minutes.
Sure, gladly. James 3:13 through 17. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay. So, Scott, did you want to?
Sure.
Descend from the mountain, my brother. You're our Moses.
No. Paul talked about the foolishness of wisdom, but he didn't really give a description of it. And James does, talking about the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. So that part, he basically describes what it looks like. So.
Okay, Mallory?
I noticed the same thing that James gives, more of a description, but especially what I felt like stood out to me was this wisdom, because they both talk about the wisdom, but James specifies that it's meekness of wisdom, and he talks about the gentleness and the mercy. So you really have this nature of the Lamb being described as the wisdom. So.
Amen.
I noticed the word show, James, you know, in his book seems to be all about that. I think he lived with Jesus as a child, and he saw who Jesus was, and he saw that Jesus was the manifestation of the nature of God. And so to him. He's like, we can have stuff in our heads all day, but in the end, what matters, what actually glorifies God, is the manifestation of Christ. Like, that's the point of having a body. So.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, come on.
I don't know this for sure, but the thought crosses my mind that it may have something to do with the audience of the two different books, that Paul was speaking to the Corinthians and James to the scattered tribes. And Paul was very, when he said wisdom, he was referring to the wisdom of the world. Until, you know, and he does say, like, the wisdom, but the wisdom of God. And then he kind of shows that contrast later in verses we didn't talk about. But James is being very specific, and this, some y'all said this, but very specific about, he's talking about the wisdom of God. So anytime James uses that word wisdom, that's what he's talking about. But Paul, you know, and maybe it was because of the hearers, and what, so when they're like, what, wise wisdom, it means this, you know, and so Paul comes at it from that direction. I don't know. It was just a thought.
Well, I think that that's just the beginning of this, and Isaac said this, but who is a wise man? Who is a wise man or woman, but a wise person and endued with knowledge among you? That's the first question out of what I read. There's this question of, now, who really is? Because, I mean, some of you may have known, I've known people that can really, man, they can really break down the scriptures and everything, and for years I kind of followed that, you know, line, but one day it just came to me that, you know, this really isn't about clarity of scripture. This is about Jesus. This is about his life, you know. And just being able to have this great clarity of, you know, is not it. It's about, you know, Song of Solomon says, having dove's eyes. And the Holy Spirit is the dove, and his eyes are fixated on Jesus, you know, and he came to declare Jesus. Give me dove's eyes, Lord, you know. That's what I want. So, I mean, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And then he just goes, well, whoever you're going to say you are, let him show something, not just say something. Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. And then all these other things, you know, that I would say up to verse 14, which is just verse 13, that's good advice, if you will. I mean, it's true, and it's really Christ in that sense. But one of the things that I believe sometimes we get off from exactly seeing the Lord for what he is because we don't allow the law of contrast to work in us. And the law, I've said it, and you'll hear it a million times from me, but the law of contrast changed my life when I began to through the word and the Lord showing me, okay, there's this, and this, that's what this is right here. So here's the law of contrast. A wise man endued with knowledge, he's going to show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay, now here's the contrast. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and so and one of the things that I get in trouble for with people is because, you know, I've been in places where I was preaching and they would go, you know, that was really good how you were talking about Jesus and everything. But when you start talking about, you know, motives, which I am, I'm a motive man. I really am. And it's not about condemning anything, not at all. It's about having a contrast so you can say, well, Because we might say, well, then I'm a wise man because I have meekness of wisdom, you know. But then would you follow your life, your words, your actions, and see if any of this other stuff pops out? That's what I'm talking about. It's the law of contrast. You go, oh, and it worked for me because I would, especially when he was dealing with me in these areas, I would be confronted with that regularly. I'd be all, you know, da, 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 oh, I'm not there yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not there yet. But this proves it. And if I didn't have that contrast, I would just go by what my opinion of myself is. You know what I'm saying? My opinion. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, being in the ministry as long as I've been, you would not believe how many times I've had people tell, well, I'm a good person. Okay, well, good. Be a good person then, but to show it. You know? I don't want to hear the words. Let's walk. Let's walk it out. Let's live it. Let's be together. Let's encourage one another, you know. Let's provoke one another to love. Let's bring each other along. And if there is a weak one, then grab them and get in step with them and help them get in step with you and move forward. That's the Lord. That's the life of the Lord. That's more than Christianity. That's not religion. That's Jesus. And religion will destroy you. But Jesus, you know, instead of him destroying us, he laid down his life. That's the difference. That's the difference between him and every other God that's being presented out there, including others named Jesus, you know. But it's not that spirit. It's not his spirit. And there is a place, as you search the Lord, that you will see more and more that spirit by the Holy Spirit, and you will fall in love with it. With him. It's a him. But you'll fall in love with that spirit, with that way that he is, with the way that he, you know, he handles things so different from everybody else. And so the word that I used the first time I really saw it and I knew this is going to get in me was I said, beautiful. Beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, mwah. I mean, I still feel that. And every time the Spirit of God shows me him and his nature in these ways, my heart is moved. I'm in love, people. I'm in love with Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of it. But I would be ashamed of it if you misunderstood me saying I'm in love with the religious Jesus, because I'm not. I'm not. And most of you know this, but I'm probably one of the most, I may be the most non-religious person in this room, maybe. Amen. I mean, I don't, homie don't play that. So, anyway, all right, I need to mark this so that I remember where I got off. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who is here among us. Father, we're not seeking to be perfect. We're not seeking to not be envious. We're seeking your mind and your wisdom and your heart and your way. We seek your Son. We love him. We don't love religion, Father. We don't love the things that Christians can do to one another, but we love how you laid down your life for us and you died so that we wouldn't have to, and then you opened the door for us to be able to go ahead and lay down our lives for one another. by this perceive we your love, because you laid down your life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. May we help one another along the way. May we be mindful of the needs of others. And may we as a body be more open to show what we need and not be afraid, so that we all can pour in and gather together and pray and stand together in love without condemnation. You are wonderful. You are amazing. You are beautiful. And we love you, Jesus. In your name. Amen.